Welcome to part 8 of the Practice of PDIA, Building Capability by Delivering Results podcast series. This 12-part series, based on a video series used for our PDIA online course, will walk you through the PDIA, or Problem-Driven Iterative Adaptation approach to solving complex development problems. More than 1,500 development practitioners in 90 countries have used the PDIA approach. Effective sequencing is key to doing PDIA. A failure to sequence effectively could lead, in principle and practice, to premature load bearing, where change demands are introduced before they can be managed by your country or organization. In today's podcast, Professor Matt Andrews will discuss how to use the AAA change space analysis to identify entry points. Matt, once one deconstructs their problem and draws a fishbone diagram, then what should they do next?
One of the hardest things when we're doing PDIA or any kind of change initiative is working out where do you start. In most contexts, which we say is really important, you're going to find a lot of politics, you're going to find capacity constraints, all sorts of things that just make it hard to do seemingly anything. So then you want to work out, well, how do I find out what I can do? We have a very, very simple approach to do this, and I can imagine some people who are listening to me will end up saying that just sounds too simple. But you know, when you're doing things, you have to have basic heuristics to deal with complex issues. And we call this the change space model, and we say you find entry points by essentially discussing what the change space is for your work. What do we mean by this? In the change space model, and you guys have already learned about this, we have three different factors that we say determine the kind of space you have to do anything. The one is your authority to act. The other one is the acceptance of the kind of change that you're trying to introduce. And the other one is the abilities that exist to actually get those things done. You'll read in our notes a little bit about what we mean for those three concepts. Now, when you're in a situation and you've broken the problem down into its constituent parts through something like a fishbone diagram, you would identify many different areas that you could engage in. The first thing we'd say about finding your entry point is that that kind of initiative breaks them down into small enough bites so that you can actually do a change space analysis. If you say, well, we want to do a change space analysis on whether we can do judicial reform in Cambodia, I'd say that's a little bit too big. If you break it down and you say, well, we're interested in seeing whether or not we can improve the quality of decisions in the courthouse, then you'd say even too big. Go down further and then ask, well, do we have the change space maybe to change the way in which the judges make decisions in the courthouse, or the way in which the court goes to meet people? Do they do it on motorbikes? Do they do it in a courthouse? How does that work? Now, when we do this, we ask three questions. One is, what is my authorization? Two, what is the acceptance for the change? And three, what is the ability? I usually try to do this in a group rather than as an individual so that you can have some arguments about these things because they're not precise concepts. So if someone says, well, I think we have a lot of authority to do this, it's really useful if someone says, what do you mean by that? Whose authority? How do you know that it's a lot of authority? Someone says, well, I think we have a lot of acceptance. Someone else will say, well, I disagree. I think that these people don't accept it that much. This is not an academic exercise. This is much more of a real-world practical exercise where we're trying to tussle with kind of how much space there is to move. So I generally will get a group together and say, tell me what you think about authority on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is we have everything we need, 5 is we're kind of getting there. What do you think about acceptance? Scale of 1 to 10. What do you think about ability? And the first question is, well, what abilities do we need? Great question. Let's talk about that. Let's have 4 or 5 of us make a list of the abilities and then say, scale of 1 to 10, what's there, what isn't there? Now, you'll notice that this conversation is not only giving you a number between 1 and 10, it's also giving you a significant amount of information and perspective and assumption that you have about what these concepts are and about how much they exist. Then when you come out and you say, well, in this area we have a lot of authority, a lot of acceptance, but not enough ability. Say, well, you don't really have space to do anything there because the people can't do it. Now, the entry point for you there is not to do nothing. The entry point is, well, let's build ability. And because you've had a conversation, you know a little bit about what you think that ability constraint might be. Maybe it's about training someone in using a computer system. Maybe it's about providing more money in a specific area. Or if you come out and you say, well, they have a lot of ability, but there's no acceptance and there's no authority. Well, does that mean you do nothing? No, it means that you start to nurture the acceptance and the authority using a specific strategy in those areas. Now, you're going to do this all over your fishbone diagram, and in some places you'll find that you have sufficient overlap between high levels of authority, acceptance, and ability that actually there's intersection. Those are the areas where you can start to actually do something new. You can start to say, what is the new idea? What is the new change? And you can actually begin with it. In some cases, it might be very small things on your fishbone. And I would say, try the very small things. The thing that we find is oftentimes when you start something small, it impacts the acceptance, authority, and ability on other parts of the fishbone and creates more space for change down the line. So this is a heuristic. We find it a practical, simple, yet very powerful heuristic that needs to be put into a conversation to help you determine where you start and what you do in the areas where you start. So we've constructed a problem, we've deconstructed a problem, people are saying we need to move, we've broken it down so we can see exactly what all the elements of the problem are. What do you do? Where do you start? And there's now 10 places that you could start. You could start in the case that we have on the board related to the failure of state parks and state industrial parks. You could start by building a team of private and public sector people who would select land that is good land. You could start by generating a marketing plan. You could probably start by dealing with some of the land rights issues that might be in the way of making these parks successful. You might want to start with thinking about the authority that is going to manage the industrial park. These are 5, 10, 15 branches where you've identified the reasons why your problem persists. In the education sector, you might be dealing with education gaps where kids are coming to school but they're not learning. Well, there isn't one reason for that. There are many. There could be related to the lack of engagement of parents. And why that's the case is maybe the parents aren't wealthy enough. Maybe the parents don't know enough. You could be dealing with the fact that teachers are absent. Why are they absent? Well, maybe it's because of the structure of their work agreement. Maybe because they don't get enough money. You could be dealing with the fact that they don't have textbooks in the schools. Why they don't have that is because of the procurement process. You can see that there's many, many, many parts of every policy and reform problem that you're dealing with. So where do you start? What do? We have a very simple approach where we say you need to sequence your interventions. And everyone's heard of that idea, sequencing things. Usually sequencing thing means starting with the basic solution and working to the more complex one. And we don't really like that because we don't know what basic is. And in most developing country concepts, there's nothing that's really basic because of the complexity of working there. So we like to think about sequencing based on three different criteria. Three questions that you ask. The first one is, what authority do I have in each of these areas to act? Who's authorizing me? Do I have someone who's actually saying, yes, you can go ahead and you can try it? The second thing is, do I have acceptance to do anything? Meaning, not just from the authorizer, but from the people who I'll have to work with, the people who are going to have to implement and live with the solution. Do they accept that there's a problem, and do they accept that it's time to do something about it? And the third one is, do we have any basic abilities? And here we mean ideas, capacity, information, organizational skills. Now, if you ask for every single area on this tree, whether you have authority, acceptance, and ability, what you're going to find is different answers. In some cases, you're going to say, well, we have authority, but we don't have ability and we don't have acceptance. In some cases, you're going to say, we don't have any of those things. In other cases, you're going to say, they're all there. And we kind of think that you need all of them to move. But if you don't have them, it doesn't mean you don't do anything, but you start by building those things. So we kind of show this by constructing a simple Venn diagram and saying, you need to be assessing the space that you have in every single area. If you have a lot of authority, acceptance, and ability, it means that you have overlap and you can actually do something. If, on the other hand, you don't have much acceptance, it means you don't have the overlap of all three of them, and what you need to be doing is you need to be building the acceptance before you try anything else. So when we work with this, what we try to do is we try to say, okay, here are the different areas where you think you might be working. What's the AAA situation in all three of them? Oh, over here? We have a lot of authority, but we don't have much acceptance, even though we have a lot of ability. Well, what's the strategy? Well, the strategy is let's build acceptance. Over here, we have a lot of acceptance and authority and ability, which means that actually people realize that they need to do better marketing. We have someone who's willing to authorize it, and we have basic abilities. Hey, you know what you can do? You can actually do better marketing. You can actually do a solution. So sequencing involves looking at the context in which your problem is being played out and working out where you have room to do what. It's not about starting in some areas and not in others. It's about starting with different things in different areas. In the places where you don't have enough room to do things, build the room by building your authorizing environment, by building your abilities, by building your acceptance. In places where you have all three of those things in place, you can actually do new things. That's where new policies and new reforms actually make sense. Problem-driven sequencing. Try it.
Thank you for listening to part 8 of the Practice of PDIA podcast series. Tune in to listen to part 9, where we will discuss crawling the design space for solutions. To learn more about finding entry points in PDIA, download our toolkit at bsc.cid.harvard.edu.